Why we to study all this? Why we study the Bible? Studying the Bible is not for us to know more only. Some of you, they like knowledge. Right? When I was in your age, I also attend Theo. And after, there was one time after I attend Theo, when I go back, every time during the Bible study, I'll try to show off. At that time, I was so proud. Bring a 5-study Bible, 2 reference book, and then go to Bible study just to show people. You know, I know something now. Studying Bible need a lot of reference book. You need to know more. And you need to know, you need to debate, you need to argue. Right? But later I find out it's not true, it's not right attitude. Studying the Bible is not for us to know more only, but rather is for us to believe more, believe deeper and stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why faith is the victory. The Bible is written for us so that we can believe in Him. We talk about the 4 Gospel, the good news. Then you may ask the question, in those days, 2,000 years ago, what kind of option do you have? We can look at this information. First of all, this is Greek. The New Testament was written in Greek. I never studied. I wish if I were 20, 30 years younger, you have the chance to study 1 year, 2 years. I think of the work, and the family, I can go to study. Wow, study in Greek language. I think I will enjoy it so much. So this is the Greek language. Why did the Bible, why did God choose using Greek language as the original language in the New Testament? This language is very beautiful, I was told, and was very precise. The tense, I know in English, we have some tense in French too, right? In Chinese. In Chinese grammar, the tense is it's not very precise when you say it today. But in Greek, the tense, the different form, very precise and accurate. So that's why God really choose this language. Now, just to let you know, you don't have to remember this, but just to let you know, if you were born 2,000 years ago, what kind of religion were available or faith were available to you? And the early Christian, what kind of background they may have come from? You can divide it into 2 worlds. One is called the Jewish world, if you're born a Jew, or you're a pagan, or you're Gentiles. If you're Jewish, and of course you're from Judaism, there are a lot of things, there are still a lot of different sects. This means the religious cult, smaller area. One is called Pharisee. That is the group that Jesus rebuked the most. Bad guy. Every time you read the gospel, oh, Pharisee are the bad guy. But actually, Pharisees were not supposed to be a bad guy, and they actually were the religious leader of those days. Pharisee, the word means separated. Why they have to separate? Because they have lost the temple. They have lost the country. So that's why they know that they have to, from now when they come back from exile, they have to separate themselves from all the worldly things. So that's why Pharisee is so-called Pharisee, because they want to separate. And they want to tell the people to live a separated life. That is a good thing. But if you just do it on the outside, without the accents, there's no good. There's another group of Sadducees. Sadducees, actually, they also want religious sect, but they don't believe in resurrection. That's why they debate the Pharisee about, in the future, will people resurrect? So, Sadducees, mostly they are priests. They don't believe in resurrection. So this is another small group. Another group of faith could be called silent, the zealots. 中文来分锐党, 分锐党, right? They were Jewish, they were in Judaism, but they are politically motivated. They are looking for Messiah, but they want Messiah to be the rebel leader.
they're the rebels. They want to fight. They are the guerrillas. They really want to kill Roman soldier or fight if they have a chance. Another small group is called Essenes. They are the group who wrote the Dead Sea Scroll. They are mostly made by scribe. They are the scribe. 他们都文士啊，文士. They copy Bible. Their job is to copy Bible. Essenes. They emphasize suffering. They live a very extremely simple life. Even go to the cave, go to the wilderness. They live as a group. They don't mix with outside world. They just every day they pray and they copy Bible. Live an extremely religious life. Those are the religious sects within the major Judaism. Most people are just do not belong to any of this group, but they are just Jewish. They are just Judaism. So Paul, where Paul fall in the category? There Paul was Pharisee. Yeah, lots more groups now. Another Simon, different than Simon Peter, right? Bible call it Simon the Zealot. Yeah, so that's why you see. Okay, if you're from the Greco-Roman world, that means you're Gentiles. You also can have a few choice or your different background you come from. Philosophies. Because Greece, Hellenistic period, have a lot of thinker. They think about life, they think about life and death, they think about human nature, so they are philosopher. Another group of faith that you can come from, imperial cult. This means they worship the emperor. They worship the Caesars, the emperor, the king. And of course, some are worshipping Greek icons, some are methodology, some are paganistic religion, or idol worshipping. That's why you see, when you read the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, members come from other religious background. Could be falling into here, mysterious, or idol worshipping. And in 1st Corinthians, in the 1st century, Romans world, when they worship those idols, it's not just like today people go to the temple, right? Bring fruit and or meat or sacrifice. They mix with a lot of prostitution in their idol worship. So this is the first century. Life is very chaotic and immoral. So that's why if you read the New Testament, you can understand why people really come from different background. But all those religion or philosophy or Judaism cannot save people, cannot even help you. But only one faith can be the light of this world of darkness, is Lord Jesus Christ. Is it possible to get a mobile speaker response and already karaoke machine? Because I still have 20-some class. It's a big room. If there's no speaker, I'll be defeated in 2 days. So, is that a mic? That one is not very effective. Even I speak. Maybe I should speak like this. Until I speak like this, there is louder. But otherwise, it doesn't do any good. There's no amplifying effect. 是不是? Unless you turn it really loud, or maybe this better. Yeah. It's better? I don't have to shout too loud, especially I have competitor outside. Is that okay? You hear better? Oh. So turn it on louder earlier. Thank you. Holding. Okay. So, now, let's come back to the book of Acts. I saw your schedule. Do you study the book of Acts this time? No, that's the next year. So I do have to cover it. Okay. Book of Acts. What is the theme?
Well, of course, learn from the name first, right?
Act of Apostle. What does apostle mean? Apostle means being sent. The ones sent. If you send someone to do something, it can be apostle. But of course, the apostle here specially mentioned not apostle by human, but by God. Let's read Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Next. Yes. In the book of Acts, of course, there are a lot of action, lots of missionary journeys, a lot of places. But I just would like to focus on several things first here. First, who wrote the book of Acts? If you read the beginning, it sounds really familiar. This morning, one of the Gospels. Luke, yes. So traditionally, people believe that it was written in the same author as the Gospel of Luke, written once again to the Gentile believer who may not know the early church, how it comes about, and what are the major things happened in the church in the early days. So it was written by Luke. So when did it happen? When was the time that the book was finished? It was believed it was about AD 62 to 63. The date of the book is in the 60s of the first century. Why we dated the book 62 to 63? It is because it never mentioned two very major events which happened later. 64, around year 64, Nero destroyed Rome, the fire, big fire. And then 67, big persecution across the Roman Empire so much. So this systematic persecution were not mentioned in the end of the book of Acts. So we dated the book around 62 to 63 AD. And what is the theme of the book? Of course, the theme of the book is to testify for the Lord Jesus Christ. The theme of the book is to testify for Lord Jesus Christ. And how did the early church do it? You have to learn how do they do it. And today, if we do what they do, we'll do the same thing. Carry out the mission. Because Jesus gave us this mission, give the apostle the mission. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28 verse 19. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, this instruction was given. Next, please. Dr. Bingo, where did we stop? Where? Yes. Verse 20. Okay. So, this is to tell us
that the mission that Jesus gave to the disciples is very clear. Not only in Jerusalem, but continue to the end of the world. Make people my disciples. So there's the mission. So Acts is to tell us how this work was carried out in a few decades. So remember, this book was written about 62, 63, so almost 30 years after Jesus died, the church has been spread to the majority of the Roman Empire at that time. Let's turn to the theme verse, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Next.
You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, Samaria, and the end.
Okay, underline this verse, please. And that is the theme verse in the book. The theme verse is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you preach the gospel. This verse gives us the structure of the book too. Because the whole Acts of Apostles focus on three periods by two workers. Right? You can remember Acts like this. One gospel. Two workers. Two major workers. Three periods of church development. The two workers, very obvious, who are they? The first half focus on Peter. Peter is the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Day of Pentecost, he was the leading figure trying to prove the gospel to the Jews. So he is so-called the apostle to the Jews. The second workers are Paul. He is the apostle of the Gentiles. Even though he also pretty much he wanted to preach to the Jewish, but the Jews doesn't really listen to him. And that's why he left for future missionary trip, foreign missionary trip, and to preach to the Gentiles. Now, three periods. What are the three periods? The first period is from chapter 1 to chapter 7. From chapter 1 to chapter 7, talk about the church in Jerusalem. How the church starts from Jerusalem. Now we must understand why it's so difficult to start a church in Jerusalem. Anyone can tell me why it's so difficult to start a church in Jerusalem? Even though for us it's very natural. Oh, Jerusalem church, Jerusalem church. But why it is so difficult? Where was Jesus crucified? Jerusalem. Where was all this sectarian, all this Sadducee, Pharisee, Zealot? Where did they locate? Where the headquarters? Jerusalem. So to start a church in Jerusalem, that means you try to start the church in the hardest place. Because Judaism opposed Christianity. Even though Christianity, you can say, indirectly, it's come from Judaism. But actually, spiritual is not quite yet. But they're laying the history. So to start a church in Jerusalem, this means you try to fight a battle from the place that you've lost before. Because Jesus was killed there. Peter and all the apostles, they were so frightened to death, almost hiding after Jesus was crucified. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, the church was started in Jerusalem. And that is a miracle. It's a miracle. Just like TJC was established in UK here. It's a miracle. Why? TJC in UK, established by your grandparents, come from where? Duck Island. Abjao was a fisherman, speak no English. And UK, what is UK? UK is the capital of the world before. Send out missionaries to the rest of the world more than 150 years ago. Everywhere from Africa, even from America, all the missionary, all the Christianity come from
UK here. The same missionary, the English well. And then TJC can establish here in UK by relatively uneducated foreigner in the English well, in the capital of the well, the British Empire before. It's really a miracle. If not by Holy Spirit, nobody can establish the true church here. So the true church was established in Jerusalem. So what happened in Jerusalem, chapter 1 to chapter 7, talk a lot about this period. The second period is chapter 8 to chapter 12. Chapter 8 to chapter 12 talks about the church development in Samaria. I think I showed you the map this morning about Samaria. Samaria is in between which two regions? Still remember? The north is Galilee, south is Judea. Samaria has a church is also not easy, because Samarian has their own religion. Their religion was not even the same as the Judaism people, right? They were not pure. But of course, they consider themselves pure. They consider the Jews as not pure. They are always arguing, fighting. They don't even deal with each other. So to establish a church in Samaria, so difficult. Because there's no communication. How can you open a church there? But Jesus picked the barrier. When Jesus was on earth, remember, whom did Jesus preach to in John chapter 4? Samaritan woman. So Jesus sowed the seed to the woman and the village in Samaria. But it is the apostle who really systematically opened a branch in Samaria. Break through the cultural barrier. Cultural barrier. In Jerusalem, they break through what? Religion barrier. But in Samaria, they break through the not only religion barrier, but one more barrier, cultural barrier. Even though we were not friends, you know, Samaritan and Jewish have no dealing with each other. But because of Jesus, because of the power of the gospel, we could be sitting together, eating together. And one more, from chapter 13 to 28. 13 to 28. From chapter 13 to 28, this is about the third period. It's the end of the world. The end of the world doesn't mean go to Africa or Australia at that time, right? The end of the world at that time actually refers to the very rest of Europe. Because of the missionary trip, the three missionary trip that Paul set out, he traveled to Asia Minor, and then the end of his life, Paul was in Rome. He was very much wanted to go to Spain, because at that time Spain were considered the very west. They never know even the earth was brown until Columbus. So at that time, in Paul's mind, end of the world is what? Spain. The very north, yeah, they know where unconquered land by Romans. But the west, the end of the world is Spain. So really, by the end of the apostle time, the gospel was spread throughout the majority part of the Roman Empire. So this is the geographical location. If you look at chapter 1, verse 8, the three periods, the three circles. First, Jerusalem, and then Samaria, Judah and Samaria, and then to the rest of the world. And then you know Acts of Apostles, the whole line already. But of course you can go to detail. We can go to a little bit of detail of it. Let's turn back to chapter 1. Chapter 1 verse 5. Next. Chapter 1 verse 5. The fifth verse in the book of Acts starts to emphasize one thing. What is it? Holy Spirit. That's why the Acts of Apostle has another name by Bible study student or scholar. We can call it actually, a more proper name of the book should be called what? Acts of the Holy Spirit. This is another name that people refer to. Because on the surface, yes, it's the Acts of the Apostle. They do something. But actually, on the behind, who's doing all the things that has been done? Holy Spirit. That is exactly the same value shared by the true church today. Because TJC is the true church of the end time. How the apostle emphasized Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago is how TJC emphasized Holy Spirit. Because without Holy Spirit, they were not even an apostolic church. Without the Holy Spirit, they would be hiding in their house in Jerusalem. Without the Holy Spirit, Peter and all the other apostles will go back to do their fishing until they die, because they're so afraid to bear testimony for Jesus, they can get captured and killed. With the Holy Spirit, nothing could be done. But because of the Holy Spirit, everything was done. And beyond our imagination. So that's why Acts of Apostle is called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And TJC today, so important for us to look at the book of Acts. Because this is exactly what we emphasize. We can turn to one verse in the Old Testament. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Let's read 4, 6. Next. You get ready, huh? When we read, if you know your next person, you should be get ready. Yes, who is reading? Okay. Zechariah 4, verse 6. This is the verse quoted by TJC most often. Huh? Even in Taiwan, our headquarters, in the lobby, we have one marble, and on this marble, this verse was kept on the main lobby. It's to remind us from early day, TJC, just like the Acts of Apostle, we are not by might, we are not by strength, but by the Spirit. So that's why it's so important for us to learn from the book of Acts. First, because we want to know how Holy Spirit works. And to that, we rely on the same Spirit, we can do the same thing. And there are a lot of parallels between how Apostolic Church developed to today TJC. Geographically, there are three circles, right? First is what? Jerusalem, Samaria and Judea, your bigger circle, and then what? The end of the world. TJC, the same thing. Where did we start? China, 1917. Do you remember this year? 1917, huh? 1917. Actually, 1917 was the year we registered in the government. So before 1917, already printing. But 1917 is the year registered to the police department. So, at the beginning, of course, from Beijing, registered from Beijing. But of course, throughout the few years, spread through China. And then to where? To Taiwan, the circle get bigger. And then, Southeast Asia. And then the 60s, 70s, 80s, immigrant came out. To America, to Europe. That's how our church grow. Really from one point, through immigration. Not persecution. They were spread out through persecution. But we, TJC, at the end, we come by immigration. So that's why our church spread out. But mainly by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So that is very important. Let's turn back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, verse 6.
another importance why we need to study this book, because of the basic doctrine. There are so many precious information about basic doctrine. Because TJC, two things emphasize. First is what? Holy Spirit. Secondly, is the truth. So we want to receive the same Holy Spirit. We have to compare the book of Acts. And then the truth, the basic doctrine. This time, I look at your schedule. You have 20 lessons about basic doctrine. I believe Preacher Johnny will quote a lot of Bible verses from the book of Acts. Right. And there are a lot of things. For example, Holy Spirit, water baptism, Sabbath, all this basic Bible doctrine are in the book of Acts. But book of Acts also emphasizes one thing, prayer. Let's turn to chapter 1, verse 14. How the church was started. Acts 1 verse 14. Next. Okay. How the church began. They don't know how. There's no way. But how do they start a church? By prayer. I think this gives us a very good life application today, brother and sister. When you try to do something, it's always the best arrangement. You start with prayer. Especially you don't know when is the next step. You're in your 20s. There are a lot of decisions facing you. What are you going to study? What are you going to major? Where are you going for your work? Who am I going to marry? All these are major decisions. In the future, how to do well for God. But before you do anything, make sure we kneel down for prayer. Now, this is how they start a church. They don't know what to do, but they stay in a room, pray earnestly. And exactly when they pray, Holy Spirit guided them. Let's read verse 24. So they even pray before they choose. So now let's get back to the role of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, mention about Holy Spirit more than 50 times. You can write it down, more than 50 times. Without Holy Spirit, there will be no apostolic church. Just give you what kind of things were related to the Holy Spirit when they were preaching, when they were doing the ministry. First, Holy Spirit were mentioned when they choosing apostles, when they're choosing the workers. Chapter 1, verse 2. Through the Spirit, give the command of the apostle whom are chosen. So who chose the apostle?
Secondly, chapter
1, verse 5. We have read already, Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit baptized people. You mean when Holy Spirit enter your heart, Holy Spirit baptized you, they are the same thing. Thirdly, verse 8, we have read already. Holy Spirit give power. Holy Spirit give power. Without power, without Holy Spirit, you have no power. Even we minister, we preachers, we experience it very, very much in this area. For example, we're going to preach, right? If the whole week I'm lazy, I try to relax at home, I don't pray long enough. Even though the sermon I've preached 10 times already in other places, but if I don't pray, even though I read a lot of material, I go to a website, search information, if I don't pray enough, when I go to the pulpit, I don't feel the strength. And when you don't have the strength, you know it. And other people also know it. Why Jesus Christ, when he preached, people listen? Why Pharisee preached, people don't take it to the heart? Because Jesus, he has power. How many of you are teaching RE classes already? You're RE teacher? Amen. Okay. How many of you do interpreting for the church? How many of you play piano for the church?
Yes.
Hymn leading? Many kind of things, right? Let me share with you, brother, sister. Whatever you do, even though you play piano, even though you do hymn leading, you need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. If you're teaching RE class, if you prepare quite a bit, but if you don't pray, when you teach this class, it will not go well. It's the feeling, the spiritual presence is not there if you don't pray enough. So, the book of Acts tell us everything rely on the Spirit. Today is the same thing. Last week in Toronto, the church I came from, we have a gospel tea event. Before the event, I tell the church, you know, this time we're going to have the gospel fellowship. But nowadays, inviting people is so difficult. People are so busy. People work Monday to Friday. And weekend, people want to relax, especially Sunday. People want to do grocery shopping, or go to the mall, hang out with friends. So how can you get people to come on a Sunday afternoon where weather is so nice outside? You can have done a lot of other things. But I share with the church member and a gospel group, what we can do is pray. We announce the member to invite friends, but we must pray more. For more than 1 month before the evangelical gospel fellowship, we start praying. And even we fast and pray. Because we know the only way that God can touch a person, we rely on the Holy Spirit. And guess what happened last week during the gospel event? More than 18 truth seekers show up. Some even live very far, from more than 2 hours drive. Some are very busy, but they make the schedule, they make the time to come. And guess what happened? But for the glory of God, 2 truth seekers received the Holy Spirit. Including the one I share with you, the one who play mahjong a lot. Who is a professor, right? He truth seeks in our church for 4 months now. But he and his wife received the Holy Spirit. You know, the first time they come to the church, they don't want to kneel down to pray. They say, what kind of prayer is this? I never heard about you guys pray like this. In other churches, we don't pray like this, right? But the first time they come to our church, he refused to pray with us. But God can open their heart. In 4 months, they kneel down to pray. And the first time they come out to pray, because later they kneel down, but they don't want to come out. But during the gospel event, they decided, okay, this time I want to open my heart to God. I want God to come in. So this couple, the husband and the wife, came out to pray. It's the very first time they came out. And the very first time they came out, they received the Holy Spirit. They feel the power. Wow, God's power. They're like coming straight from her body, the wife testified. And then the power just not only from up and down, but like left and right. Feel his body. And then she speak in tongue powerfully. And then afterwards, you know, they come from China, because China people, they're atheists. Most educated person, they're atheists before. But they testify, God is here. God is in TJC. So you don't have to tell them, they experience. But why God can let them experience? Because Holy Spirit is working. Not because of the preaching is powerful. Not because of the hymn is very powerful. But because Holy Spirit works. I told the choir, I told them, if you want your hymn to touch that people's heart, you must pray. But now some choir leader or the youth, they like to practice or singing. They practice a lot. 1 hour, 2 hours. Or they pray 2 minutes. Before they practice, they pray 2 minutes. But they can sing for 2 hours. I guarantee you, if you practice a lot, but if you don't pray as a group, your choir presentation will not touch people's hearts. Because music alone cannot touch the heart of the people. You may say, oh, 好听啊, nice, nice song, nice presentation, that's it. But if the Holy Spirit works, wow, when they hear the song, he'll cry. How many of you listen to hymns, you cry before? You have experience? You cry. How many of you, when you sing hymn, you cry? Yeah. Why you cry? Not because you're very emotional, right? Of course, if you are more emotional, maybe you're easy to cry. But sometimes, so strange, wow, when you listen to him, the tears just shed out. Because Holy Spirit is moving. So if you read the book of Acts,
of course, a lot of detail we have to remember. But just one thing you remember, no matter what you do for God in the future, you need the Holy Spirit to be effective. And if you don't pray enough, the Holy Spirit will not work. That's why we have to pray a whole lot. If you read the book of Acts, one thing you grab is by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to pray a lot. And plus, in your personal life, no matter where you go, right? How the church go? Different kind of missionary journey, where to go. No, the direction is always changing. One example, let's turn to book of Acts. Chapter 16, verse 6. 16, verse 6. After we read this, we finish the class. Next. 16, verse 6 to 7. Dr. Bingo. Have we finished? Yeah. Oh, it's okay. I see. Asia, is it? Ah, there. It's okay, skip it. For both of your efforts, huh? Good try. I know that this name nobody knows how to pronounce it. We just pronounce it fast. Let's give it. So anyway, what does it tell us? They were preaching, they were trying to go north, but the Holy Spirit did not allow them and keep the. Then they go, they change the course, they go somewhere, and the Holy Spirit also doesn't allow them. But what happened? Holy Spirit actually gave the dream to Paul at night. At that time, in a dream, in verse 10, Paul saw a Macedonian crying for help. So that's why they cross to Europe, they go to Philippi. So what does it mean? The Holy Spirit always changes direction of a human being or a church. You can have your plan, but God's plan is better than your plan. Yeah, we can plan to go north, but maybe Holy Spirit want to go left. You may not want to go left, but God's work is here. So, because of the dream, they cross Europe, they cross into Europe, go to Philippi, and then all the churches were opened later. Just because of one change in direction. And who provided this change of direction? Holy Spirit. In your personal life, sometimes you are lacking of direction. What should you do? If you are lacking of direction, you should pray more. Ask God to give you direction. Or if you are about to make some major change in your life, sometimes it's very scary to make change, right? You don't know whether it's the right change or not. But don't be afraid. Pray more. God will give you the direction. It may not be through a dream or see a Macedonian crying for help, but God will give you a lot of signs and things when you add together, when you think that, oh yeah, God wants me to change the course and to follow His guidance. It may not be what you want, but if you follow the Holy Spirit, you will see how God's grace. So a lot of things in the book of Acts, but major, just remember, one gospel, two workers, three periods. And at the end of the second half of the book of Acts, we give it a 4-2, four defense. There are four major speeches by Paul who defend the gospel. He defend the gospel four times in front of different audiences. So you can remember at the beginning of the Acts is preaching the gospel. But at the end of the book of Acts is defending the gospel. Defending. It's not major breakthrough anymore. All the major breakthrough were made during the first two decades. The first 20, 25 years. But the last few years, or last decades, in the 60s, they're already facing persecution from the Jews, and from they are feeling some pressure from the government already. And the job of Paul is to defend the gospel. In Greek, it's called apology. Christian apology is from the Greek word apology. Apology doesn't mean you say sorry, okay? It's not the more to use. Apology in the context of theological thinking means
味道,不教学. 无高,哦，味道啊，保卫你的信的道，歪道哈。
So at the end of the apostolic era, they are very busy playing defense. You need to have a good defense, just like you win the World Cup, you World Soccer, right? Germany's win this year World Cup, right? Are you happy?
Not UK people not so much happy.
But why did they win? They have good defense, even though they do not play very beautifully, possibly. Maybe you think the attack is good, but the defense is even better. Right? You need to have a good defense. You attack, but you defense. You preach the gospel, but when people challenge you, you need to defend it. So at the end of the book of Acts, the four defense you can find, is very important. Okay, we finish this morning class first, and then we continue later. Any question before we close? Okay, let's pray together. In the name of Lord Jesus, we pray.